This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
The Colonial Pipeline is back in operation after last week's cyber attack. Plus, the fighting between Hamas and Israel intensifies and spreads.
The president of Israel last night called it a civil war. It is a very, very chaotic situation.
We'll talk to our reporter in Tel Aviv. And Tesla suspends Bitcoin payments. It's Thursday, May 13th. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. We'll get to the top stories in just a moment, but first we'll be keeping a close eye on the markets today as the major indexes in Asia closed down following Wednesday's market decline in the U.S. In addition, U.S. futures have been down during the morning hours ahead of today's session. The owner of the Colonial Pipeline said it's begun restarting operations after the main conduit was forced to shut down following a cyber attack. But the owner cautioned that fully restoring the flow of fuel could take days. The pipeline, which the company estimates provides around 45% of the East Coast fuel, went offline last Friday. In a statement, the company said it will move as much gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel as is safely possible until markets return to normal. On Wednesday, the average U.S. price of gasoline broke above $3 a gallon for the first time in 6.5 years as stations along the East Coast ran low on fuel. Boeing received approval from U.S. air safety regulators for fixes to an electrical problem that has grounded more than 100 of its 737 MAX jets. That's according to the company and a Federal Aviation Administration official. It paves the way for airlines to return them to passenger service within days. Industry officials say U.S. airlines have been hoping to have their grounded MAX jets flying again by Memorial Day weekend in time for the busy summer travel season. A Boeing spokeswoman said the company would work with airlines to complete the repairs while it prepares to resume deliveries. And a digital currency backed by Facebook is revamping to address concerns of U.S. regulators. The project, initially known as Libra and renamed Diem last year, is moving to the U.S. after abandoning a bid to secure approval of regulators in Switzerland, according to backers. U.S. officials previously said that it could be used for money laundering and other illicit purposes. Among the measures, Diem Networks plans to register with the Treasury Department's Anti-Money Laundering Unit. Officials familiar with the project said they were in close consultation with U.S. regulators, but weren't awaiting any licensing or other approvals. A full earnings calendar today with Disney, Airbnb, DoorDash, and Coinbase among those reporting quarterly results. Tesla CEO Elon Musk took to Twitter on Wednesday, saying the company has suspended accepting Bitcoin as a form of payment for its vehicles. Let's talk about this with Caitlin Ostroff. She covers cryptocurrencies for the WSJ. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
So, Caitlin, earlier this year, Tesla began to accept cryptocurrency as a way to pay for its products sold in the U.S. What's behind this change?
So there's been longstanding debate over whether Bitcoin's energy consumption, the amount of electricity needed to generate new Bitcoins, whether that, you know, is more of a headwind than it's worth, whether it's, you know, whether it outweighs some of the benefits of Bitcoin, which is having a decentralized currency. And so that is the concern that Elon Musk was reflecting on Twitter last night, saying that maybe the environmental impact of this is too high given Tesla's mission for electric, lower energy cars.
We should point out, Caitlin, Tesla didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. But as you know, cryptocurrency is something Elon Musk has been very focused on.
So Elon Musk has been a strong proponent of Bitcoin. He's been a strong proponent of the alternative cryptocurrency Dogecoin. And so there's been a lot of interest from him in the space generally. And Tesla added, you know, $1.5 billion in Bitcoin to its corporate treasury earlier. I mean, even earlier this week, Elon Musk was polling people on Twitter saying, should Tesla accept Dogecoin for payment? And so, like, it doesn't seem like his interest in the space is waning, but it does look like the energy consumption question is something that's weighing on him.
Caitlin Ostroff, thank you for being here. Just ahead, we'll speak to our reporter in Israel for some context on the fighting that's been unfolding after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
In Israel, the death toll is rising as fighting between Israel and Hamas intensifies. Last night, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that he would be sending in the military and border police across the country to restore order as communal violence spread within Israel's borders at the same time. Among those in the midst of the violence are Arab Israelis, who are the descendants of Palestinians who remained in Israel after the 1948 war that established the country. We want to take a closer look at the origins of this most recent conflict, the efforts to quell the violence, and how all of this plays into the overall security of the region. Joining me from Tel Aviv is WSJ reporter Felicia Schwartz. Felicia, I'm glad we could connect with you.
Thanks for having me.
So, Felicia, over time, we know there has been tension between Israel and Hamas. We've seen three wars since Hamas seized control of the Gaza Strip in 2007. The most recent tension dates back to the spring of 2018. It came after President Trump recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Explain to me what's happening now that's prompting this violence that we're seeing today.
So, Hamas decided to become a part of these long simmering tensions in Jerusalem that sort of exploded around Ramadan this year. And around the same time, there is a looming decision on a court case about whether to evict Palestinians from a sort of strategically situated neighborhood in East Jerusalem. There were demonstrations there. They spread to the Al-Aqsa Mosque, one of the holiest sites in Islam. Israeli police had a pretty heavy-handed response there to some people who were bringing rocks and fireworks to the compound. And there were these very violent confrontations between police and worshipers. Police were using stun grenades, rubber bullets. There were a lot of injuries there. And these clashes basically inspired Hamas to issue Israel an ultimatum to change course about its behavior in Jerusalem or else face an attack. And Israel did not change course. And basically, beginning 6 p.m. on Monday, Hamas started sending dozens, which became hundreds, of rockets into Israel. And Israel responded very, very forcefully, conducting, you know, hundreds of strikes, deadly strikes that have targeted a lot of Hamas, Palestinian Islamic Jihad senior officials. And, you know, also there are reports of children and some civilians being killed as well. So it's become a very, very violent and bloody confrontation.
Felicia, to use words from your reporting, there's a new dimension that's taking place. While there is tension over Jerusalem, there is now violence in other parts of Israel as well. How is this different from what we've seen in the past?
Basically, to have conflicts between Israeli police and Palestinians, in this case, kind of Palestinian citizens of Israel within the Israel's pre-1967 borders, within the Green Line, this is a definitely different and very chaotic escalation. And not only are there very violent, large clashes between Arab demonstrators and Israeli police, but there's also now been big Jewish mobs going after Arab citizens of Israel as well. So it's kind of, you know, the president of Israel last night called it a civil war. It is a very, very chaotic situation that is emerging from all these tensions that are kind of combining in a very, very combustible way over the past few days.
We are reporting the State Department is sending a senior official to Israel to try and encourage mediation. Are there other efforts taking place?
So generally in the past rounds of conflict, Egypt, the UN, and Qatar have played an important mediating role. Egypt, their foreign minister is saying that they have been putting out feelers essentially to Israel about reaching a ceasefire and that so far Israel is not interested. Perhaps the arrival of Hadi Amer, the State Department diplomat who's on his way, can infuse some life into those efforts. But, you know, especially because Israel and Hamas have had these large-scale blow-ups that basically every time ends in a draw, Israel wants to change the equation. This is my understanding from, you know, talking to military officials and analysts here. They don't want to leave Hamas kind of the way they found them. They want to deal Hamas a very devastating blow so that not only is it very, very destroyed, but that it cannot rebuild in the way that it was able to after the 2014 war and, you know, in the varying kind of cycles of conflict that we've seen since 2018. So, you know, Israel's basically got a bank of targets that they are going through, that their military refreshed in February, and they are kind of going up the chain to take out as much of Hamas's leadership and infrastructure as they can. So basically, I think they're not quite ready to call it quits at this point. So, but maybe the Americans will influence this somehow.
Finally, Felicia, there's a bigger question about the stability of the region. Last year, we saw Israel and the United Arab Emirates established formal diplomatic ties. Israel also formed relationships with Egypt and Jordan. Is the strength of these bonds at stake?
Definitely, yes, especially if this conflict, you know, lasts weeks and not days, which I think remains to be seen. If there is some ability to get to a ceasefire in the next week, especially, you know, Israel is mulling a ground operation, and I think a ground operation will take this in a sort of different direction that will definitely strain these ties. But if this ends relatively quickly, maybe not. But if this is a weeks or months long effort, I think it's going to be very, very hard for, you know, one of Israel's most important policy priorities is confronting Iran, and they are not happy with the Iran deal. I think they might find it hard to separate these different policy portfolios and push back and find common cause with some of its new Arab partners if they are pressing a military effort that will be very unpopular in the Arab street. And then separately, you know, Israel is one of the major economies in the region. They've got a very, very bustling tech sector. If this goes on for months, it will be very disruptive to the economy here that's only just started to recover after, you know, a year of coronavirus shutdowns.
Felicia Schwartz, thank you and stay safe.
Thanks, I will.
And finally, as pandemic restrictions begin to ease, a new era of flexible working could begin for many. Starbucks is hoping to take advantage of those remote workdays by soon offering some form of limited seating in all of its stores. Here's more from CEO Kevin Johnson speaking at the Journal's Future of Everything Festival.
As the vaccine and continues to be distributed, and as we see new COVID cases continue to decline, that's going to return to that third place experience that we all know and love. And certainly with this new world of hybrid work, where workers are sometimes working from home, sometimes in the office, you know, that visit to Starbucks and even having that third place, whether it's to sit and share a coffee with a family member or a colleague, but also to do some work, is going to be alive and well. And that is unfolding as we speak.
You can see more interviews from the festival on WSJ.com. And that's what's news for Thursday. We're back tonight with a new show. We'll be covering earnings all day on WSJ.com and the Journal app. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
V This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.